What is up, guys? Welcome back to Coaches to the Moon. We have a beautiful story today. Another example of corporate to coaching, of somebody who thought they were on the path they needed to be on to find fulfillment in their life, and then a few years in realized, this ain't it, baby. I am having to switch and follow my heart, follow my dream. And that's exactly what Eleanor Mosher, my guest today, did just a few years back. She was Australia's first construction coach and is absolutely just slaying it in this industry. Three best-selling books, 300 plus episodes of her podcast, traveling all over the country and the world to talk, speak with, and mentor some of the biggest names in construction, working with the people behind the projects, not working on strategy so much as alignment, working not so much on numbers as personal growth. And Eleanor breaks down every question and answer so beautifully in today's episode. We go on a real journey that I can't even begin to summarize in this intro. So I really just hope you enjoy this one. Listen in, take some notes. I always do. And I cannot thank you enough for being here. So check out Eleanor's book, upcoming now, Secrets of the Construction Industry. And yeah, enjoy the episode, guys. This one's great. Thank you so much. Here's Eleanor Mosher on Coaches to the Moon.
This is Coaches to the Moon, the only podcast you need to skyrocket your coaching business and create true impact on the world. Here's your host, Alex Morris.
Welcome back to the Coaches to the Moon podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming back to Australia today to hang out with Australia's first construction coach, Eleanor Mosher, who is here today to talk to us about the plethora of things she's got going on, from working with the construction industry, from being a 3-time best-selling author, from having an award-winning book, Young Guns, and also host of the Constructing You podcast, which has over 300 episodes, which I'd love to talk to you about very, very soon, Eleanor. And also, it's something I picked up today, voted best construction training company in Australia last year, or 2 years ago, by Build Magazine. So just absolutely making me feel bad with how many awards and accolades you've got, Eleanor. But nonetheless, I've got nicer weather than you here in Sydney, so I'm one-upping you there. Straight out of Melbourne, thank you so much for being here today.
You're speaking to me from one of my favorite places in the world, so it's a pleasure and privilege to be here and have this conversation with you, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no worries. Thank you. And you got a great podcast voice. You've got a really good podcast voice. I'm sure you know that. You sound like a polished sort of TV anchor. Is that intentional?
I have been told that many times, and this is not what I always sounded like. I used to hate my voice, and let alone the sound of it being recorded. But once you decide to own the gifts that are given to you, then it refines itself without too much of your conscious input. So yes. So yeah, open to our hosting opportunities on television.
Oh yeah. I could witness your voice kind of, commentating the king's funeral or something like that.
You know, give me something of more consciousness and merit, but yes.
Yeah, I love that. How good. Hey, congrats on all the stuff you're doing. Honestly, we have a lot of people on this show, some people who have not much of a presence, some people who do. And one thing that stood out to me is that, you know, you're incredibly well branded. You've got a really great, your website, your socials, your podcast, there's a real sort of congruency across them all. You can tell who it is. It's kind of like almost a luxury looking brand without being pushing that side of it, not flashy. It's very, very cool. So well done everything you're doing. You look great.
Thank you so much. And congruency is the word that you picked up on. Obviously, you know your trade, and this is really one of the metrics which is required to give people that trust, because there are so many practitioners, tacticians out there, and it is the responsibility of the coach to make sure that they are giving the people who need them the most the best chance to say, well, this is the person for me.
Yeah. And that's something that comes with time, I guess, because when you first start out, as in your journey, which we'll get into, you don't always know who you are, who you work with, your niche, your brand. And I mean, we only recently rebranded this year after 3.5 years in business from a website that I just made myself, which is still live, and we haven't fully transitioned yet because I just don't find the time to do that stuff. But let's talk about that. You didn't always have the best-selling books, 300 episodes of a podcast, and just an Instagram photo in everyone's in a different city because you're just traveling and just killing it. So take us back just quickly to, I know that you're a side hustler when you started out. You said you always had multiple ventures on the go when you were getting into business, some successful, some not so. I think a lot of us can resonate with that. But I would love to know how and why we got into the construction niche, because as you said when you came on, I'm the least construction-y person out there, construction-y being my new favorite adjective. So let's get into it. How did that all start, Eleanor?
It's an accurate term. I thought that coming out of university, I would be the grandiose architect and still have a love for all things art, culture and history. And that's what landed me in architecture, only to find that I was imaginative and creative, but not in that conventional design sense, which then led me to thinking that I needed something more practical, something more grounded, to which I did find the construction industry. And it was an industry that served me well enough in my 20s, as I did work predominantly on project delivery and enjoying the challenges that did come with it at the time. Would I go and do it again? Absolutely not. But we have to go through what we did in order to get to where we are today. And it was towards the last, I guess, 3-4 years of my career where the corporate paradigm started to shatter, and it was not adding up. It was simply not stacking up. How could it be that I would have to trade off all of my time, with freedom being my number one value, for someone else, for them to dictate how much I could earn? And of course, it's not to say that you can't triple your salary in corporate, but you have to play their game. And their game just wasn't making sense, because I looked around and 9.5 out of 10 people were dissatisfied, living in this mundane monotony. And it was coming out to be a political game. It was more a game of cutthroat politics if you wanted to get past a certain level. And that was not something that I was prepared for, because I did have a great run. For 7 years, I had a fantastic run in corporate. So things within the corporate construction environment started shattering at the same time. The world of, side hustling started to open itself up. And then it didn't make sense. How come there were people out there who were earning the same as my monthly salary, working from wherever they wanted, doing what they loved? And how did they make it possible? They can't have been more special than me. They really couldn't have. Now, whether they're around today is different, but at that point in time, they were still hustling. And I did, you know, venture out into seeing what could be done in partnership with others. But it was on the April Christmas break. Oh, that's really wrong. The April Easter break.
Together,
clearly pay attention to calendars and public holidays. Well, it was the April Easter break. A few years ago, we had a really long one, and I was working on a toxic project that was just draining me in every way possible, mentally, physically, spiritually. It was so antithetical to everything that I stand for. I didn't know that at the time. And it was the Wednesday night, and I was thinking, I need to get out of this. I need the vehicle, the next vehicle, to at least get me out of here. And that's where the download of the construction coach came. And I was up till 5 a.m. that morning, ABN something, something, registering, putting a website together. You know, like you, I had that elementary GoDaddy website for a bit longer than I should have, but then I realized no one cares. And that was it. And I very quickly moved into that space, found the right mentor to get me to where I needed to get to within my brand and position in the industry. And it was at a time where no one was doing this in construction. The thought of mentoring outside of a technical space wasn't there. It was a pioneering venture, even the books and the podcast. Now, of course, everyone's talking about the people behind the project. And, you know, I remember getting calls from people saying, why would you speak about this? The only thing that matters is technicality. It's like, yeah, we'll see. We will see. So
love that.
It afforded a level of enrichment into my career that was not ever going to be provided in the one-dimensional corporate world.
Sure. And how long did you stick around with the job until you went full time?
Mentally, it was around 5 seconds, and I can say that now. Look, it wasn't great, and I did not do a great job of mentally compartmentalizing, and that is something that is tough, and it is a new skill that you have to learn. When you are here, you are only here, and then when you go out and you hustle, then that's the only thing that you're doing. So it wasn't great because you want to mentally be somewhere else, physically you're somewhere else in a situation that is also extremely toxic to you. So it took a lot out of me to maintain, you know, both fronts. At the same time, Melbourne, 273 days of lockdowns, as much as I had wanted to leave, one of the key factors of doing what I do is being able to bring people together. And if you can't bring people together, and, you know, people's mental space was obviously in a very different space in Melbourne, then that was not something that was immediately available. But it got to a point where you could be nor here nor there, and the call had to be made. So October 2021 was the official divorce and stepping out. And that was that. It was just, as much as you mentally prepare for leaving corporate, there's that 1 month or 3 months after it where it feels like this anarchy and this vacuum of where, you know, all your time used to be sucked away and now it's really up to you and it hits differently. So mentally you can prepare, but, you know, you're consolidated by always knowing you can go back to a rubbish job if you had to.
Totally. That's how I felt about hospitality when I left full time as well. I used to love hospitality. But when I look back, I don't see how I could do my life now if I still work those hours. I don't see how I could have, you know, I certainly wouldn't ever see my kids as much, that sort of thing, or my wife or whatever. And so I think, yeah, amazing, amazing. We do want to always say on this show that, like, we love and respect people who have ambitions in all these different, you know, industries and avenues, right? I feel like there's a lot of these podcasts that just shit on people. It's like, you know, you got to just leave the 9 to 5, bro. It's like, not everyone wants to do that. They want to, like, work and then go home and then watch the footy and then go to their kids, you know, jiu-jitsu class on the weekend. And that's great. And, but when you have that awareness that you had that it was toxic, which is nuts. And then you had that, I think you used the word download, which is a word I'm seeing more these days of, and this is what I need to do. Very, very tough to let go of that. It's like when you have, you know you're going to break up with someone one day. That thought never goes away.
So look, the system isn't really set up for people to comfortably enough leave. So it's not to, you know, I'm definitely not, I see it all the time, like, leave this or earn 100K in 100 days. Like, not really. It's not like that. And truly, the system is so set up. People are so enmeshed in that system that extracting themselves, they cannot leave. They simply cannot. Some people's situations are so stacked up against them that the extraction process may be 3 years. It may even be 5. So everyone's, you know, situation is different. And, you know, the system doesn't even reward small business owners. It's not set up for that. So it is intricate, and it's definitely, you know, even in the mentoring and the coaching that we do, you can't leave tomorrow. As much as you want to, you still have a commitment to an employer. They are still the ones who are paying you. So that does need to be on it. So it is an interesting and difficult, not difficult, but an intricate time that does need a lot of careful consideration and planning. Not everyone can just, you know, drive off into the sunset.
As much as we wish we could, Eleanor. As much as we wish we could. Really, really cool. And so we, for context, one of my good friends, clients, and, you know, returning guests on this podcast, Andres Garzon, he's a construction coach as well. He focuses more on the strategy, the business side of it. He talks about time, money, and team. cash flow, hiring, systemizing, that sort of thing. And you're working more with the people, more on, you know, what I call, you know, as a broad term, personal development. But I could be overgeneralizing there. Is that how you say it?
Well, as you correctly pointed out, I'm the least construction yeah. coach. Yeah. And, you know, being Australia's first, it was realizing from the outset that the profession was not what excited me. Mm. I cannot talk about risk. I cannot talk about the conventional frameworks. And it was through the profession, though, that I found people and yeah. really realizing what is the composite of the person. It is their powerhouse mindset and their high impact skill set. And being able to bring that training and development where no one at the time was operating in that space, because that's what I continuously found through the industry narrative, that the individual was not something that was focused on because it was not allowed. How dare you want to construct your career outside of the paradigms that were established in 1965 and did not have you in mind? So when I immediately focused on, of course, the people, the careers aspect, because like others, I thought that I had to become this job title. I had to become this person who worked with the tallest tower and the biggest crane. But all of that really meant nothing when even a small level of introspection was to be had. So turning the narrative back, turning the focus back on the individual, their aspirations, what they want out of an industry, which is fantastic for those who want to play in it. There are people who take immense value from the building industry, and that is fantastic. It really does have a lot to offer, and I loved what I did when I was in there all the same. But it's not simply an industry which you're meant to plug in and play to conventional job titles and metrics and functions which may not have anything to do with you as an individual. So that's where the focus lay, was back on the individual, which inherently makes up the collective. I mean, what is an industry? It's the sum of its parts. What are the parts? The parts of the people. What makes up the people? There's certain aspects behind that. So that's where the focus had to shift, because that was also honoring my own experience within the industry at the time.
Amazing. Well, let's dig into that, because something I'm really curious about, after I know some builders, we all know some builders and people who run their own construction companies. We know a lot of small business owners and bigger business owners. One thing I noticed about your content, like your podcast especially, is you use what I would call relatively coachy sort of language sometimes, talking about things like values, authenticity, alignment, all these things. Where, and I would probably guess, and I'm assuming wrong, because you have a successful career, that a lot of builders, people in the construction industry, who I think of as a guy called Mick with a pie and like a jacket and like a, you know, a full gum boots and like a tucked in button up shirt. They're not particularly receptive to someone saying, what are your top four values? So I suppose the roundabout question is, did you have some pushback when you first started this, trying to introduce concepts to an industry that didn't ever address them? And how do you transition, you know, less than receptive clients into being introspective and working on the things that you know will be beneficial to them? Sorry for the long question.
Great question. I mean, you know, target marketing is a massive aspect of what any coach is doing. And given my brand and how I speak, the totality of me would never have gelled with someone of that site nature, and that's fine, that they were not ones who I was going to speak to. I did not speak their language. They do not speak mine. So it did take time to find out the real psychographics of who I was drawing into the industry. It was, of course, not who I thought and set out to be. It was women who first started hating on me fast because they couldn't stand seeing someone like me do what I do. And this was not against women. It has nothing to do with gender. It's about how people think. And it was the 60-plus-year-old men who also couldn't stand because it was so abrasive. It really went against the grain. And very quickly, as soon as I got out of the gate, the haters started coming. And I knew this all along, you know, having authority, it's two sides to the same coin. You want the raving fans, you're going to get the people who want to bring you down. It works both ways. As soon as I launched my podcast, I think 5 or 6 weeks after that, I had maybe 10 episodes, and I already started getting one-star reviews. And it continued to continue. You know, I met people who didn't know me. I've never spoken to them before in the industry. And they were telling me how their senior executives in the industry going around telling people that I scam people for their money. Right. And yeah. I put up a video on social media asking them to come out and have an online debate with me. And if they're willing to debase me, then and prove me right, then or prove me wrong, then so be it.
Yeah.
So it's a big part of any industry where something that is so unfamiliar to their worldview and paradigm as to how you can make a living and how you can commercialize is threatening to what they know. So the only thing that they know how to do is to go with either personal attacks or just completely disqualify without any empirical evidence. And that's been the case for me this whole time. But I also know that it's part of my brand. If I was the guy next door, if I was the chill girl, if I was still wearing the hard hat and maintaining a pink, you know, high vis, you know, and playing into the collective narrative, that's what I'm wanting to say. If I had played into their collective narrative, then I would have just been a vanilla Brad bottle, so I wouldn't have been me. So it was a given that all of this would have happened on the path. And I've had many examples of this happening, but I'm very lucky that I'm someone who thrives off conflict and intellectual warfare. So it's all good.
Goodness me. Thrives on intellectual warfare. That should be in your bio. That's gnarly. I love that. I love that. No, that's great. And how interesting to have haters straight out of the gate. Like that's rough because usually you get the haters from, you know, these people, these online people, they try and stir up controversy on purpose to get more of the name for themselves. And they'll say like these Facebook live videos saying like, this is why you're broke and this really incendiary statements. But you're just out there doing something helpful in the industry that thinks it's not helpful. And so you were not being controversial other than you're just saying something that people didn't believe in yet, which I suppose makes you a little bit like Jesus. you know, so maybe put that in your bio as well.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
But you're absolutely right. And I think back to the message and what I was talking about and how not average, that's really not the right word, but it was not revolutionary. It was construct your own career instead of letting others do it for you. That was always the core of it. And I still stand by the individual doing what they need to for themselves. That was really the crux of it. And it remains phenomenal how something so, I don't want to say basic, but it sounds simple to say, but it's not simple to do.
Yeah.
That's what it is. How that aggravated so many people, but also just highlighted, and I'm glad all of this happened because it gave more insight into human behavior than anything else, you know, and I'm sure you find the same. You want to learn about human behavior, go market anything. Yeah. So it was revealing and led me to where I am now and where I'll need to go next. So it's all been good.
You need that. We say in marketing, everything's a test until you do it. And you literally never know. You can have educated guesses of how something's going to go. And you can have a proven system. But sometimes you turn it on and it's just crickets and you don't know. You just
exactly.
Don't know until this is a grand slam. You know, people need this in the construction industry. And then, you know, why am I getting one star reviews? All right, let's talk about that for a second, because thriving off of conflict is something that I wish I was better at. I still, you know, I'm definitely got people pleasing traits in me, and I find that I'm getting better at the difficult conversations in business. But still, when there's a call coming up that you know is an unhappy client, or you've got to have, you know, you've got to let go of a team member, I still do avoid these things a fair bit, and I'm trying to get better at them. For the younger, you know, greener coaches out there who first their first tastes of sort of pushback, controversy, less than perfect feedback. How do we even begin to deal with that, push through and then move forwards?
It's a fantastic question. And like, you know, I did not always have this appetite because my framing was, and that's why it wasn't corporate, feedback, negative, feedback, you're bad. There's nothing in between. Mm. And I have people pleasing tendencies. There's, you know, that's still something that has come to light recently and I'm working through, and it's going to make for a great podcast. But it is a bit alarming at first, and you are going to get that difficult client, or you are going to get people who are going to challenge you. And that is absolutely pivotal, because that's how we improve our service. That's how we find gaps in our process. That's how we identify what we thought we were doing right is actually vehemently wrong. And for someone who has an interaction with me and has come back and said, hey, this is what my experience was, I thank them. Because A, it takes a lot, it might have taken them a lot of courage to come and say it, or B, they might have felt scared, and C, they highlighted a blind spot to me that I was not aware of. And if it was not for that person, who knows what that could have cost me intangibly down the line. So it really is about changing that narrative, that first, this feedback loop is imperative to us as practitioners, because our clients, they're our mirrors. And if we think that we're serving them in their best interest, but that's not actually happening, then no one's going to improve. So first, it's about changing the relationship you yourself have with feedback, and identifying where in the past was it delivered and received in a way that left you with a really bad experience. Let's start there. But in any sort of conflict, it's a newfound skill to identify where is the resistance of the other person coming from. Typically, they'll come to you with what the surface level item is, but what is the conflict? What is their resistance stemming from? And that takes a lot of skill to actually identify what is the core of what they're wanting to express. It can be that they're not feeling seen and heard, but they're going to come and complain to you about an invoice or something. So it's being able to remove yourself from the situation and say, well, where is this person at? It's locating the person. And when someone's coming to you and they're already on the attack, they're already thinking that, you know, that they have the power, and a power dynamic is already being played out onto you, it takes a high level of thinking and skill set to locate the person. Where are they actually at? So you can meet them at that level. And that's how you also need to reclaim the power in the conversation. So it's a whole new reality that we do need to start dealing with, whether it's an unhappy client, whether it's someone that you're working with. And we all come with shot nervous systems. So everyone's just dealing with everyone else's triggers, really. And I know that's not something that's common in business, because the narrative in business is do not bring your emotions, but we are all just emotions. And it simply just takes one person to push that, and not everyone. And we don't also come with a skill set of knowing how to manage our own emotions, especially when there are high stress times. We don't all have that inbuilt into us. So for those that are new, try and approach things with high level of consciousness. Don't look at the situation and go, oh, Alex said this about me, therefore Alex doesn't want to work with me or hates me or whatnot. That's what's happening in the present moment. But what does the higher order thinking say? Well, maybe Alex is experiencing this, 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 and this, and I need to approach it from this, this, and this perspective. And it may mean that you cannot always respond at that point in time. So it may require to say, well, I can't answer you right now. And look, I don't always get this right as well. You know, the theory and practice has not always gelled, but this needs to happen again and again and again and again, until you have cells of recognition for dealing with the harder aspects of coaching.
God, you're impressive, Eleanor Moshe. Far out. You got good answers for every question I'm asking. I feel like the corporate world must have prepared you a little bit for conflicts and conversations, because I've never, you know, as you can probably tell by my shirt and beard, I've never stepped foot in a real office.
Good. But, you saved yourself.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I mean, my dad had an office when I was a kid, but it was his own business, and he had, like, you know, people were wearing like football shirts to work, and they had kind of like funny things hanging off the roof. the only corporate place I've seen was my dad's travel agency when I was a little kid. And that's not corporate at all. It was like 20 people. So, but when we watch, and forgive me, because once again, my ignorance will come through. When we watch shows like Suits, you know, corporate environments, every conversation these people have is the kind of conversation that would keep me up for weeks. They just walk into a room, destroy someone, and then leave and go for their next meeting. Surely that's a little blown out of proportion because it's a televised drama. But you must, over your 7 years in corporate, dealing with big companies, have seen your fair share of cutthroat conversations as well, which probably a younger coach hasn't ever had to experience. Or am I off the mark there?
No, it's look, there is a good side to any industry. There is that 10% that they want to do things right. They're not actually out to get you, and they don't want to. They're not actively, it doesn't mean that's not happening unconsciously, exerting power plays over you. But I've had executives play power plays, and I still think, it's like, what did you actually want from me? Like, what? How would anything that I would have done or not done had anything to do with the overall quality or satisfaction of your life? Why did you latch on to me? What have I done to you? So there's that aspect, but also in coaching many young people through the industry, they would come and say, you know, my boss did this or this person did this. And it kept on begetting the question, why? Why would someone wake up in the morning and actively decide that today is the day that I will actively make another person's life hard? And it simply comes back to ignorance. It's all ignorance. And where do you find the most ignorant people? In corporate. Now, I am actively quite, you know, anti the structures that do not allow for individuation.
Yeah.
But I understand that corporate has its place. I do. But it truly needs a reformation.
Yeah.
And that reformation can really only be done through the collective consciousness being upgraded, and it's only gone the other way, I think, really, over the last few years. So it comes through ignorance, where people are not exercising that real awareness of what is the bigger picture at play here. Why does making the graduate's life more difficult, or playing politics, or trying to get them to agree to rules that are archaic, What are we actually doing here? What game are we all playing here? So I look, you know, if politics is played out against people who have at least more than 1 year in the game, then maybe, I don't want to say there's a place for it, but there is a certain strategy required to excel in corporate. But to do it to people who have just entered the game and they want to learn and they're not really sure what's going on, they're a bit doe-eyed, then it doesn't make sense. So there's a lot of flaws within the system, which is where there is immense opportunity for those who want to consult to the industry, but it fundamentally stems from ignorance. And this is where the skills that are needed. When I had politics played against me, I had no idea what to do. Absolutely none. Like you, that conversation kept, I spun. I was like, what is happening here? It was, and you want to say so many things, but you don't also know how to say it in a way that's landed. So I was at that point in time as well where there was no ability to express. There was no ability to, how do you even go up to a manager and want to have a conversation? No one teaches you the things that you actually need in order to win at the game. What they're teaching you is how to do perfunctory things that can be replaced and will be replaced. And that's also where more and more of my brand developed, and that's where the book Young Gun, my third one, was born. A, it was a cathartic exercise to just release the corporate shed, you know, the corporate layer, but also to start giving people that awareness that if you do want to win at this game, everything that they're telling you is 100% not what you need to actually win. They're completely different conversations, and that's where the third book was born.
My word, what a segue to my next question. But before we get into Young Gun, your most recently, and I believe most highly awarded of your three books so far.
Correct.
I think that it's really refreshing to see someone talk about the need for updating a lot of the systems we live in, because it feels like they're based a lot around, like corporate, like you said, set up in the 60s, you know, the way we do the way we do business, the way we do coaching, and then, you know, getting to government and everything, pretty outdated. And so that gave you resistance when you first came into the industry, because people were just living in the system they've been told to live in. And that happened to a lot of us as coaches. I think when we first came out as coaches, people understood what a personal trainer was 10 years ago. That became pretty commonplace. But having a coach, or saying you're a coach, still a bit of a, you know, oh, you're a guru, Tony Robbins, don't drink the Kool-Aid kind of thing. So really nice to kind of hear you talk about that one. And make sure everyone to subscribe to me and Eleanor's new revolutionary podcast, where we break down the systems of, you know, this, we create new alternate systems of government and commerce to bring us into new realities where we can decentralize and have control over our own communities and move forwards as one loving collective. But that's for another day. Young Gun, what a great book. Let's talk about it. I haven't read it. I learned about it yesterday, and I'm really excited to get into what is a young gun. Please, Eleanor.
A young gun is that which has more hunger, more vision and ambition than the mediocre minds of those around them. They are the ones who are going to create the businesses. They are the ones who are going to have the 50 side hustles, and they'll still do more. They're the maximalists. They're not the ones who will look at the status quo and say, yes, I need to be exactly like all of you. They are the ones who will take the unconventional action. For example, something as simple nowadays to invest in coaching.
Yeah.
And I completely understand that the investment in coaching is at times an investment in the complete intangible. And it takes a lot of trust, because it's very different to if I say, build me a building, I know what I'm going to get. But do you always know who, what, or how you'll develop, or the results on the other side? No. And of course, there are many tacticians and pseudo practitioners out there. So I understand the skepticism of the industry. I have that myself when I'm seeking to engage someone. And I'm really a difficult person to consult with, because I can see right through everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also don't, I understand that skepticism with some practitioners, not to say they're not good, but I can see the flaws in even what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I completely understand where that is. But going back to Young Guns, they are the 10% of the industry. And there's the absolute powerhouses, which are the 1% of the 10%. And they're the ones who will be the ones of major influence and impact. And they're fundamentally the ones who need to live life on their own terms, because they can't play into the system. And that also emerged from my clients who, after they got into the industry, they're like, well, what now? It's like, yes, that's right. What now? What do you actually need to know now? Because no one's going to give you that roadmap. You're going to come across all of these things either as a rude awakening, or would you rather be well-versed before you actually get into the industry? And that's where the book was born. So yeah, no second guess that. It's an A to Z guide on how to win at the game. P is for politics, of course.
Yeah.
Giving people just that seed of awareness. A is for ambition. B is for brand. So what are all the things that you do need to be actively constructing for your own career, especially if you do wish to play that game? Because otherwise you will be rendered either A, irrelevant, or you'll burn out. You'll find that you've played the game 10 years and you got it all wrong. It's like being out on a baseball field playing the rules of tennis. I mean, the two don't go together. They just do not work. So it's the same for the corporate field.
Thank goodness you brought it back to tennis. I was like, I don't know anything about baseball.
I don't know where that came from. I'm the least sporty person as well, so.
No, I like it. I like it. I think that's what we call a slam dunk in the podcasting industry, guys. What's the Z in the A to Z?
Oh.
That's a tricky one.
You know what? I do not remember, so I do need to.
You didn't get that
far. I don't read. Zeal.
Zeal. Yeah, that's a good
zealous.
One.
Zealous.
Yeah, I was going to say zealous is a good one, or Z is like get some sleep.
To be filled with or motivated by zeal, to be fervent. And X, Y is for yearning, and X is, this was a relatively challenging one to find, but I'm like, I'm not going to be one of those that skips X
yeah.
or does like something that starts with, you know, EX. Yeah.
Extra.
Extra. Yeah, exactly. X is for xenodochial, which is friendly to strangers. So I talked about the need
Love
to
that.
how do you approach, how do you build that rapport with others?
Yeah.
And I spoke about charisma as well. So yeah, that's
A to Z. That's actually huge though. Friendly to strangers. You can really tell a lot about someone's, I suppose, capacity for success by how they treat a barista or, you know, the guy mowing their lawn or whatever. People who, when I used to get talked down to a lot when I was in hospitality, and we worked in the city, we'd have like fancy people coming for fancy lunches, and some of them were beautiful, really generous, lovely, lovely men and women who would learn our names and tip us, and some of them really talk down to us, like finger snapping wankers is what I'm talking about. And it's like, you got to this point like 20 years ago, bro. You couldn't make it in this world now, maybe, because you're just not nice to people. So that's great. Xenodochial, writing that one down. All of my daughter's alphabet books, it's all xylophone. So I'll start recommending.
And it's not even about, you know, being friendly. There's, you know, people have bad days and whatnot, but it's just, don't be the complete opposite of friendly, or just have a level of amicable or wanting to understand, again, where is the other person at? And yeah, you know, you've seen more of that than most.
Yeah, you learn about people's, you learn to meet people where you're at, where they're at. Like you mentioned so nicely before, we used to have, you know, you have people from other cultures. We're in a very touristy spot in Sydney, and so you get people from all around the world dining there, and you start to think a certain nationality is super rude, but they're not. They're just from where they're from, and you got to learn that the first few times you get clicked at, you get offended, but then you start to realize, okay, fantastic, this Chinese family is going to come in early, they're going to be the first ones in the restaurant, they're going to share everything, even in a fine dining restaurant, leave the place a mess, and never tip. And it's like you start to learn to love these other cultures and meet people where they're at, just like you have, not being a construction-y person. And I imagine working with people who are so hugely different from yourself on a personal level.
Massively, yeah. Massively.
Yeah, great. So good. So, all right. So I know that you had a really nice recap episode of your podcast. 300 episodes in, by the way. Congratulations. Or 300 plus. Insanely good. 5 years. Congrats. You had a really nice recap of 2023 episode, which was great. You used the word authenticity a lot, which is really cool, and something that's coming through a lot in our conversation. 2024 though, we're 9 days in as we record this one. You said you don't prescribe to the calendar year, and we know that because you thought Christmas was in April. But what are you up to? You got a new book coming out soon at Christmas time in April, and
and New Year's in June. Absolutely. So
what are you up to?
Secrets of the Construction Industry is my upcoming anthology. I was joined by 30 exemplary leaders and industry titans and young guns in construction, and they shared their responses to the signature question, which is, what is one thing which you would tell a person? It's very easy for me to say what I need to say in 50,000 words, as can anyone. You can go on for days, but can you do it in a chapter? Can you get across a message that serves as a paradigm shift? Because all of where the collective conversation is going is just going downstream. And what has been missing in the industry is truth. And I love the truth, truth of self, truth of others, truth of the collective. And I wanted to write my book about truth and wisdom, but I wasn't going to just, you know, copy the Stoics or whatnot. So the idea landed of I'm going to bring in more voices. I'm going to bring in more perspectives and really make this book belong to the global construction industry and allow people a chance to foray into principle-based wisdom and learning, and how can they apply that to turn their own tide? Because if 20% of the industry can do it, then 20% of society can do it, and we can get back on this upward stream. So very excited for the anthology to be released. I've been spending it's coming up to, I think, 13 months spending time with the anthology and getting emails that it's all moving well. So that's, yeah, going to be, that's the first thing to look forward to for me in 2024.
That's amazing. Secrets of the construction industry. And I really love that idea of writing a book as well. Having the, you know, I suppose putting your ego aside for a second and saying, I don't know everything. Let's talk to a bunch of different people. And, you know, it's very easy to talk in 50,000 words. So good. Eleanor, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. Really, really fun. You've given incredibly insightful answers to everything I've asked, and I can't thank you enough for that. Nor can, I'm sure, our 6 or 7 listeners. thank you, Mum. So, hey, it's been really, really great. Secrets of the construction industry, and I'll be passing this one on to a few of my mates in that industry as well. So, thank you so much for doing what you do. Eleanor Mosher, the construction coach, and we'll get all the links in and around this show. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Alex. All the best to you.
Champion. And anyone listening, I'll be back next week with another episode, or maybe even 2, depending on what week this comes out, of Coaches to the Moon. Until then, thank you so much. Much love and peace out. Hey guys, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much for sticking around to the end. If you love our guests, then in the show notes of this episode, you can find their socials, you can follow them, you can learn more about all the free resources and programs they've got. I highly recommend you do it. Until then, thank you so much. I'll be back here next week with Coaches to the Moon. Have an amazing day. Peace out.
Coaches to the Moon will be back next week. Until then, reach us on Facebook at To The Moon Digital Marketing.